Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. If you're a worldly wise swinger and happen to be looking for a church, and you live in Tennessee, rejoice. Well, sort of. Here to explain is Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, what's happening in the volunteer state?
Well, there's a story that I think our listeners will be somewhat titillated to hear, but it does have a very real issue behind it. And as you said, it's the Swingers Club. There's a Swingers Club that has been underway in one of the suburbs of Nashville, the Music City, not the Swinger City, but in this case, that was the intent of the owners. There were two owners that had adult bookstores and gentlemen clubs and so on, but they sold their complex elsewhere for a bit over $1 million in 1998 and bought an abandoned medical office in what they thought was a quiet neighborhood north of Nashville in a town called Madison. And I heard the program recently, as well as looking it up online and doing some investigation, but I heard it on public radio. And the way they explained it, one of the owners settled on this and called the other one up and said, I found the place. It's perfect. And the other guy says, is the neighborhood okay? Well, yeah, it's okay. There's a Christian school not too far away, but I think we'll be all right. And he says, well, that's not the best. Well, that turned out to be an understatement. And at first they proceeded, they bought the property, which was probably foolish. You know, I bought a few houses, and each time after I've settled on it, I realized that I never really canvassed the neighbors or did deep research on the neighborhood. I fell in love with the property.
Yes.
But there's something to be said for checking things out fully. And so after they bought it and were proceeding, one of their own club members called up the school. The school was called the Good Pasture Christian School. And looking at Google Earth, it's quite large. It's barely down the street. It's almost literally across the street. And one of the club members called up and they said, you know, we don't mind what the club is for. And we, you know, that's our thing. But we're also parents and we certainly wouldn't want our children subjected to this. We don't think it's quite right. So that's how the objection started. So the Christian supporters of the school started making a big noise and attempting to upset the zoning intentions. Well, they didn't expect what happened next. They thought that the club owners would fight them and it'd be a drawn-out thing, and of course they hoped they would win. You know, every litigant thinks they're going to win.
Sure.
But they were really shocked at the next move. The owners then registered themselves as a church.
Oh, my.
I wish I could remember the title of it, but it was something imaginative, like the Church of Perpetual Grace or something like that. They had their own Ten Commandments, and one of them was, you know, you shall not commit adultery unless your partner is agreeable.
Oh,
so it was a bit of a mockery of religion,
yes.
But they went through the motions to form a religious organization. And on that basis, they got their zoning approval almost instantly.
My.
The decor and the organization was exactly as it always had been, and it proceeded. And at different stages in the building or the refurbishment of the property, different inspectors had to come, and they signed off on this and that and the other until right near the end, the fire inspector came and looked around and he said, this is not a church. I'm uncomfortable with this. No way am I going to sign off on this. And so he refused. Well, they're stuck. They're not going to get approval. What they did this time was they immediately put out advertisements offering the different church groups could rent out the space, as one group did. And I heard on the radio testimony from them how this was an answer to prayer the Lord had led and so on. And are worshiping there now and are very excited about this providential provision of a meeting spot. The plans and development for its original use proceeded. At the moment, it seems that one of the owners is medically unfit for club activities, and another is getting a bit old and disinterested in what's going on and running out of money and needing the rent anyway, and it's just sort of ticking over on the church rental situation. But It's an interesting story.
This is a case where an organization used a church idea or concept as a smokescreen to try to move what they wanted to do behind the scenes. Am I right?
Right. Obviously, they did it to sidestep regulations and community attitudes that had a, were upholding a certain morality, and the community would not be comfortable with what they were doing.
So why would the powers that be in the community, why would the governmental powers say, oh, you're a church? Okay, fine. As opposed to going out there and sending an inspector to just check out to make sure that it is a church. This is disturbing me a little bit about why the government fell over its own feet here and okayed this thing when it was obviously, I would assume, not going to be a church.
One source that I looked up pointed out what I could myself say. Constitution is completely silent on the more fundamental question of what religion actually is. Okay. And then they quote Professor Alan Brownstein, who's often written for Liberty Magazine. He's a University of California, Davis campus law professor. Uh-huh. And he says the legal debate hasn't resolved matters much. And he says we do not have an accepted working definition of religion in American legal jurisprudence.
Okay.
Then he says we're worried that if we define narrowly, we'll end up excluding some belief systems that do deserve to be recognized. Okay. It's very hard, he says, to come up with a good definition of religion that includes everything we want covered and only excludes what we think should be excluded. Mm.
And, at first blush, that would seem that would be an impossible task. Is it a possible task? I mean, is it necessary for the government to come up with a definition of religion? Or should they say, oh, you're a religion? Okay, here's my signature. Go for it. Is that the way our government should be acting?
Well, that's the reason for this segment.
Yes.
In the past, when it was Catholic and Protestant, and Protestants were a little like Muslims are at the moment, divided up into sects, yes, many of them, but still clearly sects of Protestantism. It was not too hard. And in spite of the Treaty of Tripoli mentioning that this is a country for Muslims and so on, mm-hmm, I don't think there were too many Hindus and Muslims in this country. So it was more theoretical than practical. But even then, those are major recognized religions. But in recent years, the United States has had to deal with the Church of Satanism, mm-hmm, the Scientologists. And Scientology for years has troubled people because it was clearly begun as a religious project, if you like, or even a religiosity project of L. Ron Hubbard, science fiction writer. Mm-hmm. It has elements of Eastern mysticism in it, but it even claims to be just sort of rational self-help. Do you call such a thing religion?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm beginning to see something here, Lincoln. The government, really, and as a Seventh-day Adventist, we have some rather unique views of the world. We take the biblical view of, the second coming of Christ. We take the biblical view of what happens when you die. We stick to the Bible. If the government comes up with a definition of religion that does not include those views, then they would look at us and say, Seventh-day Adventists, you are not a religion. I will not give you this property. I will not zone you. I will not allow this for you. So I can understand where we're coming from here, Lincoln.
Well, exactly. You're jumping ahead of me because that's what I want to lead our listeners.
Yes.
We see a very clear phenomenon of the Roman Catholic Church taking a lead in the ecological crisis, right, and applying a spiritual solution to that. And the Pope himself in his speech to Congress said, we need to reject and oppose all fundamentalists and extremists. Well, we know in that regard, fundamentalists and extremists are somebody who objects to this coalition for ecologically saving the world. Yeah. I could imagine, as an Adventist, not going along with that because it seems predicated on seeing Sunday worship as a central point of this new religious first aid for society.
Right.
Am I going to be then not just called a fundamentalist and extremist, but not an acceptable religion? And this has happened in many, many countries. France actually experimented and had a formal listing of acceptable religions, and then by definition, those that were not allowed to operate legally within the country. But, some marginal countries, Azerbaijan and countries like that, Turkmenistan, they've long had lists of acceptable religions or registered religions and others that they don't want to acknowledge.
I guess the bottom line is, if we do not want our government to define what religion is, we have to accept the fact that there may be a church for swingers down the road from us. There may be a church for atheists down the road from us. There may be religions that we do not agree with or do not sanction, but we have to accept simply because we do not want our government to define what religion is. Am I on the right track here?
Absolutely, and that's the point I want to get across here. Yes. This is a humorous story.
Yes.
It's on the fringes of acceptability, obviously, because the community had a certain moral hazard with this going on. Probably not a major issue at the moment, but it could be as views proliferate and challenges to orthodox religious views or even challenges to perceptions of where the state may be leading religious coalitions. There's probably going to be more and more groups, and we don't want the state or even local communities deciding arbitrarily that this religion we like, this we don't, this we will approve, this we will marginalize, or then it could get worse. This religion we harass and try to extirpate from our community.
Now, we just have a couple of minutes left in the program. Let me ask you this question. This is sort of in reverse. Does the Christian school down the road from the Church of the Swingers have any kind of right, other than a moral right, to say, hey, we don't want you there?
Probably not, as far as religious freedom goes, but it would seem to me from a community point of view, protecting children, and this is
yes.
what we often talk about in religious liberty, the matter of compelling governmental interest, or you could say societal interest. Even if you allow a certain group, like the Church of Satanism, to exist, it might be problematic to allow that to be right in front of children where there's the potential for shocking them interrupting their childhood innocence and safety.
Yes. Okay, so the fact that we have a government who should not define religion does not stop a religious organization from protesting or being concerned about or confronting an element in their community that they think is harmful to their community, right?
No. No, it's still a dynamic. But thankfully, as this curious story illustrates, there's still an acknowledgement that religion in all of its manifestations automatically enjoys protection in the sense, protects its right to exist and to operate.
www.libertymagazine.org is the website. Visit the website, listener, and enjoy some blogs from Lincoln Steed. Also, you can hear these programs and read articles from the magazine. Subscribe as well. That's all at libertymagazine.org. Lincoln Steed, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your words of wisdom. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.